Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to Session 3 of Star Trek Aristotle, a Star Trek Adventures actual play set in the original series era using the rules by Modiphius Entertainment. My name is ELH the Game Master, and joining me are some lovely individuals who'll meet right now. Starting with Shizno, if you could tell us who you're playing, anything you want to shout out, and things of that nature.
Hello, I'm Shizno. I'm playing Captain Waylon Cullen. He is an eccentric individual. And for any shout-outs, I would like to shout out the, firefighters dealing with the wildfire smokes up in Canada right now. I want to thank them and their families for helping out and anyone who's supporting them right now. That's my shout-out.
There you go. Very nice. I love it. Yeah, that's the situation up there isn't great, but we do appreciate anybody who's helping with that situation. All right, Krell, what do you got going on?
Yo, yo. My name's King Cairo. I'm playing Lieutenant Commander Krell, the chief engineer of the USS Aristotle. And let's see, shout out. You know what? We have a lot of good video games coming out right now, so shout out to video game developers.
There you go. Nice. I know for a fact that Shizno and I have been playing Baldur's Gate 3 nonstop, so. Oh, Lord. Thestral, what do you got going on?
Nothing going on here, but hey, I'm Arwen, and I play the Lieutenant Thestral, the Senior Communications Officer for the USS Aristotle, and I will just add on to the sentiment that Captain Cullen said. Unfortunately, there's been no shortage of need for emergency responders all across the United States and the world. So thank you all, if there are any listeners out there happy to be doing that work or have anyone affected by that work, you know, deepest thanks and appreciation for that.
Very nice. Very nice. And certainly last but not least, Minetti.
Hey there, folks. My name is Gray. I'm playing Lieutenant Junior Grade Minetti. Nothing to shout out. I would like to echo the same sentiments that the other players have all expressed. I can't put them in better words than them. So I'll just say that if any of you are in danger or have recently experienced danger, I hope things are getting better for you.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. With that said, let's get the intro video going and then we'll start play. And welcome back. So something as is tradition on the channel, at least when it comes to Star Trek Adventures, is I have the players do an opening log, and I believe Lieutenant Thestral, you have that honor tonight, so please take it away.
Sure do. Okay. Communication officer's log, stardate 2158.3. Our science officer has returned to his homeworld after sickbay informed him that he was budding with triplets. We wish him and his growing family of hatchlings well. In the interim, I have been asked to take on his responsibilities. Ever since the Academy, I have felt torn between the sciences and operations divisions in my career as a communication specialist. In light of these new responsibilities, I've decided to follow in the grand tradition of scientists like Hoshi Sato and have transferred divisions. Let the deck log reflect these additions to my duties in the crew manifest. I will remain the Aristotle Senior Communications Officer, but my bridge station has been expertly adapted by Chief Engineer Krell to also allow me access to sensors and other science-related operations, so I may serve in a science officer capacity as well. On a more serious note, I have completed the activation of the quarantine beacons around the Pericles system, as well as the submission of our reports on the obelisk entity to Starfleet Command. I'm sure Captain Cullen and Lieutenant Minetti had plenty to say when they wrote their threat assessment reviews. Nonetheless, we leave the system with a lot of unanswered questions. Questions. There's a saying overheard by comm officers who monitor stray transmissions from deep space, the kind of space that's well beyond the boundaries of the Federation. It's one of those sayings that is whispered down the proverbial lane by Federation traders, but you never really know its origin. The saying is, the only thing more dangerous than a question is an answer. This cult of the obelisk may, in fact, be an instance where that ominous adage applies. However, with the loss of the Meriwether and its crew, I think it's a mystery we cannot afford to let go unsolved for too long. For now, though, we must put further consideration of the obelisk aside and move on to our next assignment, the transport of supplies to the colony on Gareth 3. Included in these supplies is a small herd of Terran livestock of the subfamily Bovinae. Transporting livestock can be a touchy affair. You need to prepare for their unpredictable behavior, manage their methane emissions, and insulate them against the stresses inherent in interstellar travel. If anything, their presence will make the long-haul warp interesting, but hopefully not too interesting. Computer, and log and file, including annotations to the deck log as appropriate.
Very nice. You may have one momentum for that opening log, which I think brings you to two, thanks to chat. Thank you, chat, for the extra momentum as well. So where we begin is just kind of a standard shot of the Aristotle at warp. You guys are indeed between stars at the moment. You probably have about a week left before you'll arrive at Gareth 3. So lots of time to pretty much attend anything that you want to pursue in your own time or any professional endeavors you want to cover. And since the ship is pretty small, it's about 7 decks, best I could tell anyway, and you've maybe got about 30, 35 crew aboard, I'm just going to sort of go down the line here, and we're just going to sort of check in with each character before I start throwing little bits of potential plot at you all. So we're going to start with Minetti. Minetti, what are you doing on the ship? Why are you doing it, and who's involved?
So Minetti has assembled his half dozen security officers in the gym of the ship. A place that Minetti is possibly at a bit more than his duty station, but we won't talk about that. And he is trying to get a feel for this new security team. And he feels the best way to do that is to both engage with them physically and intellectually at the same time. So he is essentially quizzing his security team members on various Federation laws. And if they're incorrect, then he demonstrates a restraint or an arrest method, something like that, on them.
Okay. All right. Tell you what, we'll kick this off with a roll. Give me a present security difficulty of 0 here. And, of course, if you roll a complication, security, that'll be interesting.
That would be really interesting with a difficult row. Two.
All right, 1 success, bringing you up to 3 momentum. So your crew, for the most part, your half dozen security officers, they seem to be actually quite well informed. The one thing overall that I would say is that they seem to be about as new as you. In fact, you are the ranking officer here, and since you're a lieutenant junior grade, that pretty much means that you're dealing with ensigns and enlisted personnel. More enlisted personnel. There's maybe one ensign, the rest are probably enlisted. But I do have a list of NPCs here. Let me grab one at random. One of them is Senior Chief Thoth. She is a Vulcan. And she is, you know that thing in school where, you know, there's that one really smart person and they're trying really hard not to answer all the questions, but you know that if you were to call them, they would get it right. Thoth is kind of doing that same thing, and she's exhibiting Vulcan restraint. But even you, with your behavioral analysis, you can tell that she is just like, she wants to answer everything. Let me put her name in chat as well so that you know how to spell it.
Perfect. So if Minetti notices that she's like eager to answer every question, he will kind of like I mean, I don't want to say single her out, but kind of single her out and ask her the next question. And rather than looking at the group, look directly at her and see if she gets it correctly.
Okay. So I'm imagining that it's kind of one of those things where all the senior chief and all the others are sort of standing at parade rest or something similar. And she proudly kind of tilts her chin up and says, well, sir, according to Starfleet General Order number 623, in such a situation of a sentient entity, we are to establish communications, ensure that hostilities are not happening unless it is absolutely warranted, and above all else, that we do not trample any inalienable rights as laid forth in the Federation Charter.
How many years have you been in service? And I look at her rank insignias again, because I, as the player, forgot what rank she was.
You said senior chief.
How many years have you been in service, senior chief?
Next month will be 6 years, 5 months. I don't think I need to go on.
Understood. I'm glad to have someone so educated on my security staff.
Well, I'm certain that you might have more in-depth knowledge than I do, sir. I've simply been the hired muscle, as it were. Though it is only logical that, as part of a security officer's retinue, that you have someone that is very well learned as part of your staff.
Precise purpose of this exercise. Test both the mental and physical fitness of each of my officers.
Though I do have a question, sir, if you'll allow me.
Granted.
I have seen something along the lines of a CrossFit flyer across the ship. I'm curious what this CrossFit is exactly.
Trying to think of the best way to boil it down. It is an extreme fitness program meant to heighten your physical prowess. I personally have not seen these flyers. If I see one, perhaps I'll inquire more about it.
Very well, sir. I was simply curious.
Curiosity is an important part of our job. He makes a mental note to talk to Thestral. All
right. So that's going on. That's happening in the gym. Let's go to Thestral next. Thestral, what are you doing on the ship and why are you doing it?
Okay. Thestral is in the one of the lab facilities. And he is setting up a database of all of the sensor data we took on the obelisk entity.
Okay.
Actually, he's accumulating all the data we took. Sensor logs, the logs from the Merryweather that we hopefully downloaded. Hopefully that's standard procedure.
Oh, yeah.
Things of that nature. And he's attempting to build a database to begin an investigation.
Why don't you give me a control and a science here? Difficulty of zero as well.
Sure thing. Control and science. Okay.
All right, survey Yay. Says two successes, meaning you're up to five momentum. Well done. So what I would say is that it's pretty trivial. I mean, you're a communications officer and a science officer, so it's very easy for you to correlate all this data into a significant database. But one thing that will sort of stand out to you with that many successes is that even with quarantine of the system, there's always a chance that someone else could bump into that obelisk down the line. Because you don't know where it went. I mean, if I'm remembering correctly, the thing basically shunted itself into... No, you guys blew it up with a torpedo. That's right. I'm remembering
Yeah,
now.
We blew it to smithereens, yeah.
So is there other obelisks in the Pericles system? Is there a chance that there's obelisks outside of the Pericles system? You don't know. There's a lot of questions. And as you said in your opening log, you know, sometimes you just don't know, and finding out might be worse than knowing. So it's just one of those things where, as you're poring over this database, you're just left with a lot of questions and a lot of unanswered sort of what ifs, as that were. But as you are, you know, sort of working on this, you also have one of the NPCs check in on you. And let me roll dice here. All right. You are going to be visited by Petty Officer Crimson. Now, that's not actually his name. That's just his nickname. His full name is Willie Crimson Garrison, and I'll put that in chat as well. But in general, he is one of your underlings. He is pretty skilled when it comes to xenoanthropology. But as, you know, he kind of pokes his head in the lab and goes, excuse me, sir, do you have a moment?
I'm still not used to being called sir. Come in. Come in.
Thank you, sir.
It's nice to see you. I've heard you called Crimson. Is that right?
Yes, sir. I think it's a joke in the fact that I'm a redhead and have lots of freckles. But, you know, it's just something that they kind of called me in the academy, and it just sort of stuck.
What is the obsession with the ginger hair?
I don't know. If I'm being honest, even as a human, I don't understand it myself.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because, you know, people would tease, and I'd hear people at the academy in the lunchroom, you know, in the cafeteria and whatnot, just going on mercilessly about ginger this and ginger that. And I mean, I think the EM waves you give off because of your follicle coloration are pleasant.
Thank you, sir. I like to hear that. However, I do have a bit of a concern that I wanted to bring to your attention.
Yes, please.
And he starts to hand you a data pad, but then he remembers that, of course, blind, and he kind of reads it instead, and he goes, well, sir, looking at the reports of the livestock that we're transporting, apparently one of the cows hasn't been eating as much as the others. I'm a little concerned that it might be feeling anxiety, nervousness. I'm not sure. I'm a xenoanthropologist. I'm not a bovine expert.
My specialty is also xenoanthropology, so I hear you. I do have a base knowledge of xenobiology, though. We might want to loop in one of the medical staff to have us meet us in the cargo hold, to assess this creature.
I'll loop in Commander Dean, if that's all right, sir.
Yes, please. I'm sure Commander Dean will be thrilled, and he says that with like a slight sarcastic note to his voice.
Yeah, and I think Crimson picks up on it and goes, yeah, you know, I'm sure, you know, Commander Dean is going to be thrilled that his only patient for the next however long we're a warp is going to be a cow. I'm sure that they will have enjoyed all their years of the academy studying bovine biology.
Have you ever worked with Terran bovines before?
Actually, yeah. My uncle on my mother's side was a legitimate cowboy.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were half cow?
No. Like, as in they were tending and herding and managing a herd of cows.
Oh, that's very different, isn't it?
Extremely, sir. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So let's, all right. I ask because the only experience I've ever had with ruminants, other than the occasional disagreement with a tellarite, ha ha ha, when I was in, I was doing my study abroad on Earth, when I was an adolescent, and I actually got to spend 2 weeks, in an area that I think you call Finland, Northern Finland. And we sat with a herd of reindeer and followed them, throughout as the Aurora Borealis was going over our heads. And it was just incredible.
Certainly sounds enjoyable and picturesque, sir.
It was. I'm guessing reindeer and cattle are probably not that similar, though.
Well, depending on the breed, they might have the same horn structure.
Oh, that's a good point. Oh, I didn't even think about the horns. You know, we better, let's tell you what, I'm electing you to come with me, and let's go down to sick bay. And actually, you know what? Let's just go down to the cargo bay, and I'll communicate with Dr. Dean en route.
All right. As you do that, let's switch over to Krell. Krell, same question. What are you doing on the ship, and why are you doing it?
All righty. So, Krell.
There we go. Remember, push to talk.
Yes. All right. So, Krell is in the conference room we were at last session and is working on the fire suppression system that was delayed when it set off. He also has a radio-esque device that is playing a recording of the 332nd Bank of Bullius Regatta, which just finished recently.
Ooh, very fun. So since I had everybody still roll, we'll have you do a roll as well. If you could just give me a control engineering difficulty of 0. And hopefully this will get you up to that much momentum. All right, 2 successes. Yeah, actually, at this point, you guys are capped at 6 momentum, and you actually have a floating momentum in case you want to spend it on anything.
Whoa. Let's see. No, I can't think of anything to spend it on, to be honest.
Well, if I may make a suggestion, one of the beautiful things about being an engineer is that the advantage you create doesn't necessarily have to be tied to just, say, the fire suppressant system. Maybe in working with this fire suppressant system, you notice a opportunity to enhance a different system, if you see where I'm going with this.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah, let's see if we can create, I guess you could call it like a floating advantage. Mm-hmm. That enhances the sensors for any chemical changes in the environment, including any like increased heat and stuff like that.
Okay, interesting. And I think that actually ties in very well to the previous mission, where having environmental sensors of that effect would have helped tremendously. So I like it. I like it a lot. So you'll spend 1 momentum in 1 of the floatings. You'll be at 5 momentum. And overall, the good news is that you get the fire suppressant system fixed. You don't think there will be any, at least anticipated, issues with it going off randomly again. And as also described, you also boost the sensors a little bit. And that advantage is probably going to stick around for a while. I'll make a note of it in my notes here. But as you're working, someone is going to poke their head into your room. And let me roll on my chart here. Oh boy, you get the Tellarite. So a Tellarite officer sticks his head in. He's an ensign. And you would know him as Ensign Folas. And I'll put his name in chat as well. Now, as a Tellarite, he is, of course, argumentative, because that's how Tellarites work. But you would know him as kind of your right-hand man, quote-unquote, when it comes to engineering work. So Folas comes in, and he looks at what you're doing, and he says, you realize, sir, that if you get any higher on that ladder, I'm going to have to report you for a violation of safety code, yes?
When he comes in, Krell looks back and says, Folas, what did I tell you about talking to me while I'm on a ladder?
Well, I just wanted to make sure you were paying attention, sir. It looks like you're fucking up everything.
Yeah, it would for the bad eyes of a Tellarite pig, wouldn't it?
And he actually cracks a smile. Glad to see that you're in rare shape, sir. I actually wanted to interrupt your very important work to let you know that we've noticed a small discrepancy on Deck 3 EPS conduits on the fore side of the deck.
How serious a discrepancy?
Well, let me just put it this way. If the captain wants us to shoot at whatever the hell is out here, nothing. It's always nothing. If we need to shoot our phasers for anything, there might be a increased power draw.
Krell frowns at that and considers sending Folas to repair. before flipping open. Actually, no, he getting down from the ladder and walking over to one of the comm stations, clicking it, and says, "Commander Collins, this is Krell."
Oh, Shiznar, are you on mute?
Yeah. What did he say? Sorry.
I'm just calling you over the intercom.
Yes, but I think you said commander, so you're not going to get a response.
Oh, sorry. Yes, no, I would have meant captain. Yes, Captain Colin. This is Commander Krell.
What's up?
How likely are we going to be using our phasers for the next couple hours? Do you think? We got a slight power draw, power imbalance on the third deck EPS junction. It's going to be drawing some additional power to the phaser banks to compensate.
Well, let's how about we have those phasers fixed up and operational by the time we reach our destination.
Aye, sir. I'll send a team on it right away. And then I'll end the communication, turn to Follis, and go, "Well, it's your lucky day. You're the one who brought it to my attention, so you get to fix it. Don't fuck up this time."
Well, it can't be as bad as certain people have tried to do engineering work. I mean, did you see Garrison's work on that torpedo launcher? I mean, come on. How badly can you fuck up a simple torpedo alignment?
I'll never underestimate the ability for Garrison to fuck something up.
Yeah. Kind of feel bad for him, actually. I mean, he's kind of like a punching bag.
Every department needs its punching bag. Just be glad it's not you.
Well, that's the thing. If you punched me, you'd be getting rock hard adamantium. You wouldn't be getting that weak and flimsy paper that Garrison is made out of.
Yeah, it's only going to be rock hard if you've overstuffed your gut again. I know you.
Yeah, fuck you too, sir. I'll see you later.
At ease. Have a good one.
All right. And finally, we come to the captain. So, Captain Cullen, what are you doing on the ship and why?
He's in his quarters, actually. He's this is off duty captain. Mm-hmm. He's has a water bottle in one hand, and he has a cup of coffee, what you would assume in the other one, and he's just shimmying around his place there in a robe, just spritzing some plants. Half of his quarters, though, is an interesting concept. It's dirt on the floor, and he's just walking around in the dirt, just squeezing it between his toes, and he's just spritzing more plants as he's going around. He has like a nice little vine mess already growing through the ceiling already. With a lattice he installed, and he's just spritzing, humming to himself some old Earth song.
Interesting. So, like, I'm envisioning, because, again, Strange New Worlds is kind of my metric for the new TOS era. Basically, instead of, God, why am I blanking on his name? The captain, what is his name?
Pike.
Pike, that's his name, yes. Why did I forget that? You know how Captain Pike kind of has the kitchen thing going on? Like, is it more or less where instead of Captain Pike's kitchen, you have instead basically a garden?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I would say is, as you are going about your garden, enjoying your time off, you do get a chirp on your communicator from Commander River.
He'll let it chirp a couple of times, and then he'll head over to it and answer it. Colin here?
Yes, sir. I hate to bother you in your off hours, but we have an interesting report from Starfleet Command that I thought I'd bring to your attention.
Well, bring it down to the quarters.
Aye, sir. I'll be there momentarily. And then, you know, maybe about 5-10 minutes passes, and there's a chirp at your door.
Yep. Come in.
Okay. And Commander River, your first officer, does step inside. She is holding a pad, and she kind of looks around and goes, it's my first time in here. I see that you have definitely personalized the space, sir.
Oh, yeah. You gotta make it personal, or you're going to go stir crazy. Yeah, did I ever tell you about the first few times that long voyages were done in space, especially the hauling trips?
I don't recall anything of that nature, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, this is before the Federation. So, hauling trips between Earth and Mars. Now, yeah, we had, you know, warp drive, but there was times where they couldn't rely on it dependently. Especially when we had flare-ups in the system for micrometeors and stuff like that. They're ripped through a defense screen instantly. So they'd have to take the long way. Unfortunately, some captains would lose their minds. Or crew members would, because, you know, staying in the tin can for so long. You'd forget what Earth is. So the way to keep grounded is literally having some ground with you. I like to get it between my toes every now and then just to remind myself that, you know, where I came from, where I went to, where I lived.
She kind of looks at it. Is that from Earth, sir, or is that non-Terran soil?
It's from Earth.
Judging by the composition and color, I'm guessing perhaps northern France?
Just looks at you for like, dirt's dirt.
Well, that might be true, sir, but there's always a different quality to where you get your dirt from. You know, take northern France, for example. It's a very rich soil with nutrients and oxygenated and other bits of minerals that are very important for growing wine.
Yeah, if I want to grow wine, I'm just growing house plants that are sturdy. These plants, normally I don't have to water them. I can leave them alone for a few days at a time. They're simple, they're easy to care for. But I like them because no matter what condition they're in, they're going to survive. Much like, you know, humans. That's why I like them. Simple plants, not the delicate wines you have to... You're just looking at grapes waiting for them to get fat so you can squish them and then drink them later. No. If I want fruit, I'm going to eat it right away. I'm not going to crunch it into a wine. Although it is good wine.
I will have to find you a different anniversary visit whenever we spend a year together on the ship, sir.
By the way, the soil is from Ireland, actually.
I wouldn't have guessed. But I do unfortunately have a bit of interesting news, sir, and she kind of offers the pad out to you.
Okay, sit. Let me go get you, do you like milk? You like chocolate? Do you like orange juice? What do you want?
A glass of orange juice actually sounds pretty good, sir. Thank you.
He'll go and make you a cup of orange, OJ. Like, pulp? No pulp? Little pulp?
Dealer's choice, sir.
Pulp it is. And yeah, he'll bring over and he'll drop a single ice cube in it.
Nice.
There you go.
Thank you, sir. This report's a little bit weird, sir, and, I only glanced at it to make sure it was for you, but perhaps you should read it.
All right. Let's take a look here. He's reaching around and he grabs a pair of glasses and he puts them on. Imagine literally Jeff Bridges' Big Lebowski trying to sit down on the sofa and look comfortable.
That's kind of what I had in mind. All right, so you look at the report, and it's actually a announcement that one of your fellow professors back at the academy is being recognized for one of their achievements in the field of biology. And let me actually put a name on this guy. Let me consult the NPC list. It is a Cation, Corilla, or Korea, I think is how it's spelled. It's a Cation name. It's always going to be something that trips me up. You'd think I'd pick names that I can say. But for Professor, it's Turia. That's what it is, Katuria. So Professor Katuria, they are, you know, being recognized for a breakthrough in what appears to be the generation of a very strong and very tactile silk. Something even stronger than spider silk, for example. But the reason this is relevant to you is because in their acceptance speech of the reward, they do mention Captain Cullen by name as being an inspiration and that they wish the captain was here to join them in the celebration.
Just reads it over a couple of times and he just smiles. And he's like, well, I gotta make myself a letter now. Thank you, number one. It's just between the dirt in my toes and this, you've made my day.
I thought it might, sir. Though, I do have one question, sir. How many times have you had to carry cows between the stars, sir?
Between the stars? First time. Between land masses, a lot. Actually, one of the boys on one of the English ships there, he didn't tie down the mast properly, and oh, you never want to see someone get hit by a mast. It's just, it's a mess.
Well, isn't that why they call it the boom, sir?
You know, for him it was doom.
She tries not to laugh, but she still chuckles a little bit. I'm sorry to hear that, sir.
It was centuries ago. By the way, you figure out a number yet?
Oh, for your age. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, I was pretty confident with 300 or 500, but if we're even farther back than that, I guess I have to ask the question. Were you there at King Arthur's court when he wielded Excalibur?
He just thinks for a second. He's like, was that AC or BC?
Sir, I believe you're fucking with me, and I appreciate it.
Hey, look, I remember encountering gods. Well, you know what? I'll tell you about it someday. Apollo's a great guy.
As you say, sir. And it's funny because there's actually an original series episode with the Greek gods. Man, that's a throwback.
Yeah, that's my reference for the night.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, we're going to shift scenes now and start to get everybody in scenes together. So Thestral, you arrive outside the main cargo bay along with Minetti, who's coming from the opposite side of the corridor. Now, Minetti, you have been notified that apparently there's been some form of a disturbance within the cargo bay containing the cows. And about, say, 30 seconds into your conversation, Krell, you're also going to arrive because apparently there's been an alert with the fire suppressant system in the cargo bay as well.
Oh, no.
I didn't know you had an expertise in cows, Mr. Krell.
What's a cow? No, I meant something here about the fire suppression system, I say, as I'm reviewing the report on my pad.
Oh, that's not good. Well, I was just here because I heard of an anxious, there was trouble with an anxious cow. And I'm looking around to see if any representative from Sick Bay has shown up yet.
Not yet.
Oh, you mean those big animal things we've got in the storage room A?
The Bovinae, the subfamily Bovinae, yes.
Yeah, humans have weird creatures.
Right? I still like them. Well, after you, sir.
All right. Yeah, I'll head into the storage, or I guess the cargo bay, not storage area. That'd be too small. I'll go into the cargo bay and see what the frou-frou is about.
All right. So Minetti, Thestral, and Krell, you guys all step into the cargo bay. And what you see is, for lack of a better term, moving. Hey. You see that the cargo bay has been configured in sort of a larger pen situation where about 6 to 7 of the cows are contained within this pen, and there's some grass, some sod that they're very similar to the captain's quarters. Some sod has been put down and the cows are able to snack on grass. But what's interesting is that one of the cows is managed to get outside of the pen without breaking down the gate. And the cow is covered in fire suppressants foam for some reason.
Is there any system that's actively, like, is there a fire suppression system currently activated? Or is it just, like, wandering around covered in foam?
Wandering around covered in foam.
Okay. Seeing that, I look to Mr. Minetti and say, Mr. Minetti, could you please contain that cow creature as soon as you can?
And offer you any promises. I'd be afraid of stunning it on the wrong setting.
Oh, whoa, whoa. We don't need to stun it. Let's not. They're very sensitive creatures. I mean, trying to calculate the stun setting. Let's try something else. Do these cattle have a guardian, like a civilian guardian or something that came with them?
Yes, but they are mysteriously missing.
Okay.
I will pop out my communicator and get on the line with the ensign of my security staff and order them just to do a quick sweep in the areas around the cargo container just to see if they might have been scared off by the bull getting out or something like that.
Okay. I'm trying to think how I want to roll this. Minetti, roll me a insight security difficulty of 1.
Any of my stuff help out with this? Or...
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at here. Actually, yeah. I would say that your behavior analysis would apply here.
Okay.
And remember, if you want it, you do have 5 momentum.
I will spend 1 just because it is pretty easy for me to get momentum back.
All right, famous last words.
Yeah, and then I don't get it back.
3 successes. You get it right back. Your capped momentum. Again, it's 6. So, and Minetti,
got to do the untapped potential, I believe.
Yep, roll that. Could matter. Okay, so you actually have 2 floating momentum. So I'll describe what you see, and then you can decide how you want to spend that 2 floating momentum. So you're looking around for this, you know, supposed shepherd, as I'm going to call them. In fact, let's give the shepherd a name. Let's call them Hereni Voigt. They are a Betazoid. And they are civilian. And you're looking around and you do see that there's a chair where Voigt probably was seated, just watching over their herd. But what you notice is that the chair is also covered in foam. And what you also notice is there's not a trail leading out of the cargo bay with that foam. So it's not like Voigt was getting foamed and then, you know, ran out because they were being attacked by the ship, quote unquote. In fact, the only things that seem to have foam in this cargo bay are the chair and that cow.
This presents complications.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a reminder, in case you need ideas for what to spend momentum on, there is what...
Next, we do have 2 floating.
Yeah, so there is, of course, what we do with Krell, where you are able to create an advantage, which can be mostly anything, as long as you justify it. Or there is the option of you can ask me a question, 1 momentum per question, and I will answer it truthfully.
Okay. You guys okay with me spending momentum on questions?
Go for it.
How to think of the properly worded questions.
Well, the good news is I'm not a monkey's paw GM, so just get in the general ballpark and I'll try to answer.
Is there anywhere that I can think of in this cargo bay where they may be concealed or could have fallen down somewhere? Or does it appear like they just straight up disappeared from their chair, like vanished?
I would say the latter. There are no recesses. There are no crates that they could really... Well, I guess there are some crates because you're also ferrying supplies. But it's not like they could have gotten in the crates. They wouldn't have been able to fit. You could check the restroom that comes off the cargo bay. But even when you poke your head in there, it's just your standard toilet. Nothing fancy. No sign of foam. No sign of Voigt at all.
Okay, I'll go to the nearest control panel, and can I use the momentum to get information through the control panel? Does it work that way?
Yeah, if you want to.
I'll try and see the moment that, like, the time signature of when the foam went off.
I'm trying to think of how to say this. So you will see that the fire suppressant system went off about 8 minutes before you were notified, and Krell was notified. But what's interesting to you, and actually chat's picked up on this, is that you have one extra cow. You don't know where this cow came from, but you have one extra cow now.
Now, Lieutenant Commander, math wasn't exactly a strong point of mine in the academy. But it seems like there's one more cow in here than there should be.
Do they normally duplicate?
Not this quickly. And not fully grown. They have a much more natural mammalian life cycle. They have to be birthed as small infants.
Interesting. It was a betazoid, wasn't it?
I believe they were, yes.
I believe so. It looks like the time signature for when the systems were activated was 8 minutes before we were notified.
What on earth? I'm going to head over to the console in the store, or in the cargo bay, and pull up the security feed and go to timestamp 23-4 Delta.
I'm actually going to spend some threat here to create the complication that when you go to check that specific timestamp, you do see Voight seated on their chair, and you do see that they're just kind of chilling, looking, you know, lazily at a data pad, you know, keeping themselves. Then there's a burst of static, and then when the burst of static clears, you have extra cow covered in foam and no Voight.
Can I determine the source of that static?
If you want to roll me, well, you can either roll or you can spend one momentum to ask that question.
I'll spend a momentum and ask where the interference is coming from.
So you remember that EPS conduit on deck 3 we mentioned earlier? Apparently it's affecting more than just the phasers at this point.
God damn it. Open up my communicator. Commander Krell to Ensign Fola.
What's going on now, sir? Don't tell me you got stuck in the bathtub.
No, that only happened once. It's not going to happen again. And I told you not to talk about that over open comms. No. What are you doing with that EPS conduit? I thought I told you to get a team on it.
We are on it, sir. We literally just arrived with our tools.
Well, I'm going to need you to do a level one diagnostic, or wait, actually, really quickly, out of character. I can't remember. Is it the diagnostics increase in severity when they get higher, or is it like a descending?
I think it's like descending, because level five takes less time than a level one, if I remember.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, before you start, I'm going to have you run a level four diagnostic on it. We're getting some weird feedback that's causing some data glitches in the security feed. And it seems to be coming from that conduit.
Well, when it rains, it fucking pours. All right, sir, I'll let you know when it's done.
Thank you.
While he's doing that, I'd like to take out my tricorder. And actually, before I do that, let's just do a physical check here. What is the behavior of the cow that's covered in foam?
Well, you're blind, so you don't know this, but the cow is looking directly at you.
Okay. So I have my support animal with me.
Mm-hmm.
I will use the eyes of my support animal for a moment.
Okay.
And make an assessment.
So what are you trying to figure out about this cow is the question.
Well, I'm trying to see if they're agitated. I'm trying to see if they're showing, I don't know, like innate signs of intelligence.
Does it seem like a cow or does it seem like a humanoid trapped in cow form?
These are excellent questions. I guess this would be an insight and con for your part, Thestral. And okay. The difficulty will be a 3.
Insight and con, difficulty 3. Well, I'm definitely going to spend momentum on that. Hopefully everyone's okay with that. I don't think I have a... No, that would be a stretch to use my social work focus. All right, so 3 die. Let's see how it goes. Actually, I'm going to spend 2 momentum on that.
Okay, so how many dice are you wanting to roll here?
I'm going to roll 4 total.
Okay, so it'd be a total of 3 momentum.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what?
Let's stick with the 3 dice. So just 1 momentum.
You sure? It is a difficulty 3.
Okay, fine. I'm so wishy-washy today. All right. I will spend a total of 3 momentum on that.
All right, bringing it down to 2 momentum.
Okay. Thank you. Here we go.
4 successes, bringing you back up to 3 momentum. So, great. Thestral, since you are also an Anar, I can tell you that when you try to touch the cow's mind and try to get a feel for it, it does genuinely seem to be a cow. It isn't exhibiting signs of extra intelligence. It doesn't have, say, a Betazoid telepathy or empathy baked into it. It's a Terran cow. It's confused a little bit, if that matters to you, but it's just kind of like moo.
Okay, so I'm going to walk up to it, staying within maybe 3 meters away from it, with one of my hands just gently in the air, just trying to calm it down, and scanning the other with a tricorder, using the tricorder to scan, just to get an assessment of its physiology and its health.
Okay. Yeah, it's a cow. If you scan the other cows in the herd, they are of the same herd, but they, from what you remember from the shipping manifest and the communications log, the herd was kind of split up to go to different colonies. So this specific cow with the foam on it was meant for a different destination than the one you're currently headed towards.
You know, I blanked out there for a second. Would you mind repeating that last sentence?
Sure. So the cow is from the same herd as... So there was a bigger herd that basically got split up to go to different planets. This particular cow is for a different planet than Garuv 3, the planet you're currently headed towards.
It's slated for a different herd. It's slated for a different delivery than Garuv 3.
Correct, but you only are delivering the Garuv 3. Like, you don't have multiple cow deliveries to make, if you see what I'm saying.
I do, and I'm disturbed by what you're saying. So... Interesting. I pull Krell and Minetti, you know, in motion to them closer to me. So, surprise, surprise, it's a cow, but this cow, the markers on this cow indicate that it is not to be delivered to Garuv 3. It's in a different lot. It's in a different delivery lot. We should not have this cow.
Where is it heading? Or where is it supposed to be off to?
Where are the markers for it?
The marker for this lot is TEV-4. T-E-V.
It's slated for TEV-4. I'm going to call it. I'm going to whip out my communicator. Actually, I'm going to walk to the wall and tap the communicator on the wall. Mm-hmm. Thestral to Rivers.
Rivers here. Go ahead.
Commander, we have a situation developing in the cargo bay with the cattle. I'm sorry to bother you, but I think this is going to be something you're going to want to pay attention to and have eyes on.
Are they in danger? What's going on? Be more specific.
Apologies, Commander. We have one more. We have the herder, who the shepherd for the cattle, has disappeared, and we have one more cow than we should. And the cow, according to the electronic markers on it, is slated for Tev and not for Garib.
Interesting. Let me loop the captain in on this, and we'll get back to you.
Very good, sir.
And momentarily, we switch up to the ready room, or not the ready room, I guess, still your quarters, because Cullen, you're still off duty. And Rivers is still there. Like, she's still in your quarters. So you heard all of that. So Rivers just looks at you, Cullen, and goes, well, sir, what do you think? Are we dealing with a subspace anomaly? Do we have a transforming Betazoid?
Just thinks for a moment. You're like, well, could be an entity from the eighth dimension swap places with the herd keeper and the cow on the other ship. So I'd just say contact the other ship, find out if they had an unsuspected shepherd show up.
Prudent course of action.
I'll clean my toes and meet you on the bridge.
Aye, sir. And then, yeah, while they're communicating with the other ship, we go back down to the cargo bay for the time being.
Okay, I suggest that we split up duties here. I would like to begin an examination for any kind of anomalies. Mr. Minetti, perhaps you could try to coax that cow back into the pen. And Mr. Krell, what do you think you should be doing right now?
Krell's currently not paying attention. As you see, he has slipped out his data recorder and is listening to the regatta. You can see him. He's like, he's got a frown on his face, and he's like, "What? God damn, no. The fifth place is no good."
All right. I'm going to walk over to you and put your hand on your shoulder. How are things going at the regatta?
Not well. My family's team is in fifth place, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're in seventh or worse by the time it's over. But anyways,
well, you know how races are as unpredictable as the situation we're in right now. They could still prevail. At the moment, though, I'm sorry, sir, but we could really use your attention here.
Yes, of course. Sorry. Extra cow. And not supposed to be here. Right.
Covered in fire suppressant. I'm going to begin a scan for any kind of anomalies. What do you think would be the... How do you think you could best contribute to this mystery right now?
I got to think about that out of character. Let's see. Engineer. Well, yeah, I'll try and figure out why the fire suppressant system went off in the first place.
Excellent. I was waiting for someone to ask. Krell, since you do have that advantage you created earlier, I'm going to say that this was a difficulty of 3. It's going to come down to a difficulty of 2. Go ahead and give me another insight engineering difficulty of 2.
Alrighty. Let's see. Not really thinking any of my focuses apply. Perhaps starship maintenance, but I think that's a bit of a stretch.
Give you starship maintenance, why not?
Alrighty. So you said control engineering?
Insight engineering. Alright, one success. So I can offer
I'm going to re-roll. Oh wait, no, sorry, I did not spend a...
Yeah, you didn't spend a momentum, so you can't use cautious engineering. However, what occurs to me is that you are you're the chief engineer, but you're not in main engineering, so that doesn't count. I can offer you a success with a complication.
Oh, actually, since we're on the USS Aristotle, can I have the Aristotle?
The Aristotle can assist you, sure. Why don't the Aristotle give me a sensors and engineering, please? And remember, the Aristotle always rolls one die and always has a focus. Yeah, no help from the Aristotle either, unfortunately. So yeah, I guess at this point it's either you just fail or there's a success with a complication.
I'll take the complication.
All right. So thanks to your, again, modification, the advantage you created with the environmental system sensors, you do see that there was something akin to brimstone or something to, there was an actual fire or burst of flame or burst of intense heat moments before the fire suppression system was activated. So this was a justified activation. This wasn't like a random one that happened before. However, the complication is going to be that when you try to figure out the source of this intense flame, you are drawn to the chair. And as you get close to the chair, you start to feel a headache come on, as if you're started getting a little bit of vertigo. So if you could now please roll me, Krell, a fitness medicine difficulty of 1.
My 2 worst. All right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Again, this is totally not me picking on my players for dumping fitness and medicine. All right, you get your 1 success. So you do manage to steel yourself and shake off the vertigo before you fall over or anything, but it's, you know, you kind of step back from the chair and that feeling vanishes.
Oh, that's very unpleasant. I'm going to take out my tricorder and try and take some readings on the chair.
Okay. You scan the chair, and what you get back is that, yeah, there's a subspace vacuole located about 2 inches off the seat.
I explain that to the other 2 individuals in the room and then start back, like take 3 steps back away from it.
Okay.
And then I'll open up the comms to Captain Cullen and say, Captain Cullen, we've identified most likely the cause of the issue. There appears to be a subspace vacuole floating right above the seat of one of the chairs in the cargo bay.
It takes a second, and Cullen's just thinking. You want to say that there's a localized subspace anomaly above a chair?
Yes, contained entirely in this one room. Specifically, right above I'm assuming a rather wooden, like a plain wooden looking chair.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Floating directly above the seat of a chair. I do not know how to explain it beyond that.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Rivers, what's our ETA or deadline? Do we have to be by that colony? Can they wait a little bit?
As far as I'm able to tell, sir, yes. We have about 3 days of playtime if we need to go anywhere else.
All right. Let's, the ship that's supposed to be carrying the other, transport of livestock, where is its location in conjunction to ours?
That's the tricky thing, sir. It's actually headed on a course directly opposite of ours, which means that if we were to turn around and engage the highest warp possible, we could catch up with it, but we're still waiting to hear back on subspace from them, sir.
Yeah, let's turn around. Let's head towards them. Just because whatever's happening here may... How small is their ship compared to ours?
They are also a Kelsey May class, sir. And actually, let's give the ship a name now that I think about it. Let's call this ship, as I scroll through my scientist's name here, let's call this the Sabine. This is the USS Sabine.
Let's try hail them again with a priority 1 alert.
Aye, sir. Because, again, it might take a while, but I will send out it out immediately.
Well, hopefully they get it before we get there and they can talk back and forth, but yeah, let's intercept highest warp possible.
Aye, sir. Helm, please set new course and engage at highest possible warp. And yeah, with that, we're going to take a 5 to 10 minute break. We'll be back shortly, everybody. Stick around. And welcome back to part two of session three of Star Trek Aristotle, where the players are dealing with an additional cow and a subspace vacuole and just some strange going-ons in general. So where we resume is all of you have come to a conference room to better fill in Captain Cullen. And I'm actually also going to give you a little bit more information you would have found out as you study the subspace vacuole. So as this is a subspace vacuole, it's one of those situations where it's kind of like a wormhole, a miniature wormhole of sorts, that it takes in matter from one location and spits it out in another. Apparently, when you were at warp, you hit this thing and it passed through that same EPS juncture that has been causing issues. And then for some reason became lodged in the cargo bay above a chair. That you're still figuring out, but you start to have some answers at least.
Yeah, that answers my question about we're traveling at warp and it's somehow traveling with us. So we're tethered to it somehow.
Better that it's tethered rather than some of potential other options of what might happen if we were to go to warp and it didn't want to stay tethered.
Well, true. Well, I'm just concerned about the damage it did to the EPS conduit. I'm wondering if maybe we should get these cows farther away from this vacuole and examine this chair to see if there's anything remarkable about it.
Seems like a pertinent course of action.
Well, my concern is that is this a subspace vacuole or is this a localized wormhole? How did we get an extra cow? Vacuoles are supposed to just gobble something up or spit something out. This targeted something that was familiar to the herd.
Have we heard from the Sabine yet?
Not yet, no.
Interesting. How long would communication normally take between the two? Hopefully, Thestral would know that.
Yeah, you would know that without any... Well, yeah, you would know that without any role required. The earliest they could reply is within the next 30 minutes.
Okay. All right, so it's not out of the ordinary that they haven't replied yet.
Correct.
Right. Are there any subspace emissions coming through the vacuole?
Not at this time, no. But theoretically, it could spit something out at any time.
Anyone have a fez to throw through? Actually, that's an interesting idea. Do we have any rope that's used to tether up the cattle?
I mean, you could also replicate some. You could have some rope, sure.
Yeah, let's get some rope and a weight and tie it to the end of the rope and for science, of course, and throw it into the vacuole.
Might I suggest tying a class 5 microprobe to the end of that rope?
That is a good idea. Yes, sir. I'll have one brought down. Without my communicator. Darn it. I'm sorry. I'm like, my memory is the person that was working with me, the xenoanthropologist, Crimson.
Yep, Crimson, Petty Officer Crimson.
Thestral to Petty Officer Crimson.
Go ahead, sir. What's up?
I need a class 5 microprobe brought down to the cargo hold 2 immediately.
All right, be there shortly.
And then just for safety's sake, I think it might be a good idea to evacuate all non-essential staff from the surrounding area on this deck.
Agreed. We should also relocate the animals.
My security team can work on relocating them to one of the shuttle bays.
All right. And Run your experiments. Don't blow up the ship, please.
I second that sentiment.
I have zero interest in doing anything too risky, but we do need some answers. It would be nice to know if this is a two-way passage.
All right. So sounds like you're going fishing is what I'm hearing.
Yes, I'm going wormhole fishing.
I did have a question. Was this herdsman or herdswoman, herdsperson, given quarters on the ship, or were they actually staying in the cargo hold with the cows?
They were one of those types that stays with their flock, so they were just kind of chilling here in the cargo bay.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure if there was a room, I would go check out the room to see if there's any additional information there. But if everything is in the room, then that's not necessary.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you're going fishing through a potential wormhole. I love it. I'm just trying to think what this would even be in terms of a role. It's going to be daring. That much I know for sure. Maybe a daring science if Thestral's doing it.
Okay.
I don't think you have a focus, though.
I do not have a focus.
I have a focus in physics.
Ooh, that actually might apply here. Let me look at Krell. Yeah, Krell, you might actually be the better person to do this.
Okay, yeah.
I do have one additional set of advice. It might be a smart idea to put on EV suits and maglock ourselves to the cargo bay just in case anything happens.
Okay. There's probably some EV suits laying in
a locker nearby, yeah.
In a locker.
Yeah,
locker,
for sure.
That was the word I was looking for. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we have
Minetti will gather up suits for everybody and dressed, I guess.
So there's a quick montage of you all getting in environmental suits and getting ready to go fishing. And yeah, what I would say is that whoever's doing the main role, it's daring science. You can have one person assist you. They will also be rolling a daring science. And then we'll just sort of see what happens.
Yeah, why don't we have Krell and Minetti do this with Minetti assisting? And I'm just the big ideas person.
My daring science is at least 13.
Alrighty. So using focus. So what's the difficulty?
The difficulty will be a 3.
I'll give you a 1 threat to roll an additional dice for mine.
Okay, I'll definitely take it.
Default complication value?
Yep. Actually, you know what? Nah, it doesn't matter. Even if I were to spend threat, it wouldn't have mattered. But that is 4 successes, which gives you a point of momentum back. And what's going to happen?
You rolled high because I didn't roll well at all.
What's going to happen is, Krell, you tie off the lure or the microprobe, as it were. You get as close as you dare to the anomaly, then you chuck the probe through. And it's like, it's kind of like that D&D spell that I know Shizno loves, where you just kind of like throw the probe and it goes through the air as if into an invisible pocket. So from the outside, it looks like a rope is just going into an invisible hole in the air. But after maybe about 30 seconds, you feel a tugging on the rope as if someone is pulling on the other side.
Like a forceful tugging or just a, what's this kind of tugging?
If this was a traditional fishing metaphor, it's like the fish is checking out the rope. Like, what is this?
I'm gonna tie in my tricorder to the probe and try to get some telemetry from it.
Okay.
And sensor readings.
Okay. You roll me a control and a science difficulty of 4. I'm just looking at your focuses here. Communication systems would apply.
Great.
And yeah, I think it's just difficulty 4 for your part.
Okay, I'm going to spend 2 momentum on that.
3, you mean?
3. Yeah, I'm going to be spending the rest of my other momentum on this. Is everyone okay with that?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Oh, not the rest of it. We have 1 momentum left. So, all right. Let me get this set up. Control science, using focus.
There you go. The 4 successes you need. Nice. So, Thestral, if you're reading this correctly, as you're getting telemetry back from the probe through the vacuole, you're detecting the interior of a Federation ship on the other side of the line there, but you can't quite figure out which ship. You just know that it's Federation standard atmosphere and Federation standard metallurgy on the other side.
Well, this is interesting.
What's the ship's name?
The Sabine.
The Sabine?
Mm-hmm.
Just for kicks and giggles, let's see if I can tie in a communications line and bounce it. I use the probe as a repeater.
Okay. So I guess you hear the channel open sound.
Channel open. USS Aristotle to USS Sabine. Come in, please.
And there's a moment, and then kind of in a slightly staticky but still perfectly audible, you hear, "This is interesting. You say you are the Aristotle?"
"Yes, that's correct. Communications officer, USS Aristotle. To whom am I speaking?"
You're speaking to Commander Weatherson of the Sabine. We were just investigating why one of our cows has gone missing and why we have a Betazoid aboard our ship. Very confused Betazoid.
I think we can provide some additional details, sir. We have an additional cow here, and we are missing one Betazoid Shepherd.
Interesting. So this is a localized temporary wormhole?
It looks like it. We sent a probe through, attached to a rope.
Yes, I can see that. It's lying on the deck plate in front of me.
How is our missing man? I cannot speak today. How is our missing shepherd?
Well, they're a little confused, a little bit shell shocked, but we have our chief medical officer looking them over for any anomalies. But I suppose they could go through the anomaly again if we think it's safe. But my question is, how are you going to get a cow through this thing?
That is an interesting question. You know, this is, I believe, our captain should be involved in this conversation with you. I'm going to patch him in now.
Go ahead.
Captain Cullen, I have Commander Weatherson of the USS Sabine in our unorthodox communication link through the miniature wormhole, sir.
All right. Captain Cullen here. What's your status of your vessel? I'd recommend you hold course or you alter course to meet with us. We're on our way to you right now.
Yeah, we actually just received your message and we were about to reply based on the earlier communication, but we're actually en route to a rendezvous with you, so that works out perfectly, sir.
Well, excellent. That way there we can get the bovine all situated and get our Betazoid back, and you get your car back, and everything's good at McDonald's Farm.
My only concern, sir, is what do we do about the miniature wormhole? I mean, my understanding of wormholes is that things like this, even though they seem to be stable at the moment, they could vanish in moments' time.
Well, I'm sure you got scientists aboard your ship. We got some of ours on this project right now. We're going to scan it as much as possible. If we can replicate this, well, then the galaxy is our oyster to explore.
My thoughts exactly, sir. Would you mind if we attempted to throw something through our end?
As long as not biological. You don't know if sending someone through will destabilize it further.
We were actually, what I was thinking, sir, is I was going to throw a plant through.
Well, plants have feelings too, you know.
Do they?
Just use testing equipment. How about that?
Aye, sir. And after a moment, a similar class 5 microprobe comes through the hole in the middle of air and flops to the ground. Well, did you get our class 5 microprobe?
Captain, we did. This is Thestral Monitoring. We did.
Excellent. Actually, well,
did we?
Yeah, you did. You did. All right. It does smell faintly of brimstone, though. Like, it does seem like it did get a little bit on fire. Just a little bit. Just a little bit heated.
I'm going to take some readings of the probe with my engineering tricorder.
Excellent. Go ahead and give me a insight or a reason engineering difficulty of 2.
I have a bit of an odd suggestion if we have an extra EV suit. Put a probe inside the EV suit, send the EV suit through, see if it's capable of surviving the trip.
Mm-hmm.
Or if the average humanoid would be able to survive the trip based on the temperature readings and such.
All right.
Physics focus.
I'll give it to you. All right. One success. So I can offer you a success with a complication.
Sure.
So as you are taking readings of the probe and figuring things out, what you realize is that whatever is in between you and the Sabine is more or less not quite the interior of a star, because that would instantly vaporize anyone traveling through it. But it is like a class-wide demon planet environment where for like a second or two, you could survive it without an EV suit. That's probably how the Cal and the Betazoid ended up where they were. But that's also why the fire suppressant system activated. And that's the complication, is that as you look at this new probe, the fire suppressant systems activate and spray it full of foam. And you as well.
No. Oh, that's
just
very ignoble.
Uniform.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get a new uniform synthesized. Damn it.
I'm just glad it's not me this time.
All right. Mr. Minetti's suggestion about an EV suit may be more on the nose than he suspected, given the Y-class environment this seems to be connecting to. I'm going to call to Astrometrics and have them... Well, actually, before that, is the Sabine in the general, like, same sector, a sector over, or are they rather far away from us?
They're pretty far. Like, you guys are going to the galactic left, and they are going to the galactic right.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to call Astrometrics and have them do a review to see if there's any Y-class or registered Y-class demon planets in our sector or any neighboring sectors. And then I'm going to call over to the Sabine and suggest that they do the same on their end.
Okay. If you want to give me the one momentum to ask that question, I'd be happy to answer it.
Sure.
Yeah. So I have... good news, actually. No bad news this time. I know, that's a rarity. It's a shocker. There actually is a Class Y demon planet directly between the two of you. It is Pheron 22H3. It hasn't actually been given a full name, but for the moment, it is known as Pheron 22H3.
Interesting. I'm going to have them transfer all information on Sharon. Sorry, I'm bad with strings of numbers. What was the number? 1223?
22H3. I put it in chat.
22H3. So I'm going to have them send all information that we have on Sharon 22H3 to my pad, or if that's not within TOS, to the console in the store in the cargo bay that we are. And then I'm going to compare that information to the readings I'm getting from the microprobe. See if I can create or notice any commonalities.
Yeah, no rule required. Yeah, they're the exact same. Whatever's going on, you are linked to the Sabine through 22H3 somehow.
Very interesting. I'm going to call Colin and Commander Weatherson, and advise them on this new discovery.
Did we pass by the system at all at any point in time?
Not that I'm aware of, sir. In fact, even on our end, 22H3 isn't on anywhere on our route either, but it is conspicuously in the middle, at least in a galactic sense.
Maybe there's some higher life form that's trying to grab our attention.
Well, based on current speeds, I think you'll get there about a day ahead of us. Do you want us to still head for the rendezvous? We could make that our rendezvous point.
Yeah, let's have it set there. That way, if we need any assistance, we have you.
All right, sir. We'll make it happen. In the meantime, over here on the Sabine, I'm going to have this place cordoned off, and we're just going to continue doing scans on our end, but... do we want to leave the probes as they are to facilitate communication?
Yeah. And, we'll do that. Keep in contact. Keep in touch. Report anything weird on your end. We'll do the same.
It'll be done.
I'd like to continue my scan of the chair.
Mm-hmm.
See if there was any particular reason it is... tethered to this spot above the chair.
Why don't you go ahead and give me a reason science difficulty of 3. So you would have to give me threat to have a chance to pass here.
Yeah. Okay. Let's give you threat.
Okay. How much threat you want to give me?
Just one. We'll do it a one-on-one.
Okay.
We'll just do one-to-one. Oh boy, giving you threat. Okay. I probably don't have any focuses on this. And here we go. I don't suppose I could use the ship to assist.
Yeah, the ship can assist you with a sensor science.
Okay. So could someone roll the ship for me?
Sure.
All right, already 2 successes. That's good. And the ship is rolling a sensor science. All right, there's your 3. So, how do I say this? Remind me what your specific question is so I'm not saying the wrong thing.
Oh, okay. Suddenly we're becoming very monkey poly, I see. Okay, mm-hmm. Fine. Fair play. My question is there any... particular characteristic of the chair that would tether an anomaly of this sort to it or attract it or keep it in place?
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. I just wanted to be sure. So it's the funniest thing. On the surface, this looks like a wooden chair. Like, you know, looks like made out of a dark hardwood and maybe a rich oak. You know, it's a dark wooden chair. But when you scan it, what you realize is that there's these little specks of rubidium and other elements that, when confronted with a subspace field, kind of acts as a net, as it were. So this vacuole is currently in a net, if you follow the analogy.
Fascinating. Is there, okay, and rubidium, these are relatively common elements?
I would say in a galactic sense, yes. In a should be in a chair sense, no.
Okay, so there's no like pentagram iconography or anything on this chair, is there?
Would you like to touch the chair and look it over?
I would like to throw a handheld scanner underneath the chair. Okay. From a distance that's Bluetooth to the tricorder.
Okay. You throw out a little sensor and you look up and nope, no symbology on this chair as far as you can find.
Woo. Okay, good. no summoning demons today.
Mm-hmm. That's next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, right. Okay, so I'm going to make... So this is interesting, Commander and Lieutenant and Captain, if you're monitoring comms. This chair, it's a typical chair, except it has an interesting conglomeration of elements like rubidium and whatnot that in this particular concentration are acting as a net that is holding the micro wormhole in place.
All right, you should let the Sabine know that too, see if they have anything similar.
I'll pass on my sensor readings through our connection directly to their ship.
All right. And what I'm going to say is this is where I'm going to spend for the reversal, because reversals are fun, that the moment you send that data over, you hear suddenly the Sabine go to red alert, and Captain Weather or Commander Weatherston reports, whatever the hell you just sent over, something just hit the ship, sir, and our Betazoid is missing.
I'm going to reach out my mind and see if I can connect with the Betazoid if they're in proximity.
Okay. So you want to communicate through the wormhole with your telepathic abilities.
Sure.
All right. That is
that always works out well for me.
Yeah, you know, it's a running gag with you. Fitness science or fitness, I think fitness medicine's probably better. Fitness medicine, difficulty of 4. So you're gonna either have to spend determination or give me some threat.
Fitness medicine, difficulty of 4. Okay. Yeah, I'll give you some threat.
Okay, how much
enough threat? Enough threats. 3 threat. Will that give me 2
4 dice
more
total.
Dice?
Mm-hmm.
That'll give me 4 dice total. Okay. And you said, I'm sorry, you said fitness what again?
Medicine.
Thanks. With a 4. Okay.
All right. Unfortunately, not enough for me to offer a success with the complications, which means this is going to be a failure, but it's still going to be interesting. So you reach out your mind, and you're expecting to feel something through the connection. But what you see in your mind's eye, instead of thoughts and feelings and things of that nature, is you see a vista of 22H3. And what you see there is a settlement, but according to your records, 22H3 isn't colonized by anyone, because again, it's a class Y demon planet. But you're seeing a dome with a contained atmosphere inside, and you also see that on the outskirts of this dome, there are these big arches, each in one of the 4 cardinal directions, and 2 of the gateways, the east and the west, quote-unquote, archways, are currently active, and there's a swirling vortex there that's about the same size as the Aristotle and the Sabine are.
So they're the same size as the micro wormholes, or the same?
They're much larger. At least in your mind's eye, what you're seeing is a much larger gateway on 22H3. Mm-hmm. But again, the archway is the size of the Aristotle and the Sabine, but your micro wormhole is being contained within a chair. Just keep that in mind.
Okay, so I'm going to this feels like a moment in Trek where the person doing this would swoon and like lose their footing, and I'll fall into, let me roll a die.
You gotta fall into Manetti's arms.
I'll fall into Manetti's arms.
Might be the only one fast enough to catch you.
Okay. Whoa. Did you catch me, or did you let me fall?
Yeah, I mean, if there's no roll involved, I'll just catch you. I didn't know if I was gonna get prompted to.
Fitness security difficulty zero. Let's get you some momentum.
There we go. Right.
And martial arts would apply as a focus here.
Nice. I kind of want to say a complication just so he throws him to the ground.
Okay. Two successes. All right. So you're up to two momentum. Yeah, you catch him. No problem.
And he'll try and prop him back up on his feet once he feels like he's stable enough.
I have to stop doing that. Why do you let me do that?
You know, it does not seem like, I mean, I can't exactly sympathize because I have no idea what it's like, but it didn't seem like that was very pleasant.
It seldom is lately. Thestral 2, Captain Cullen, we have a situation.
Oh, good. Is the ship blowing up?
No, sir. I attempted to connect telepathically with our Betazoid herder, who really deserves for me to remember their name, but I don't. And instead, I somehow got a vision of the demon planet through which our portal is connecting. And there's a dome settlement with four four arches on the card aligned with the cardinal directions, and two of them are active with significantly larger portals than this micro portal, this micro wormhole, large enough to fit a Kelsey May class vessel. I thought our records showed that that planet was not inhabited.
Should be uninhabited, but I guess we'll find out when we get there. And no more opening your mind to things without prior permission going forward.
Yes, sir.
Do you feel like you need to go sick bay to get looked at, or are you good?
No, I can resume my duties, sir.
Manetti.
With your permission, I'd like to return to my lab and look at these readings and see if there's some way I can the science staff and I can engineer a way to untether us from this wormhole. Should we need to do that?
I want you to do that. Make sure you make it clear though to the other assistants and workers you have there that if you show signs of any struggling, you're to report to sick bay.
Yes, sir. Can you two handle things here? I'm sorry, Captain. I cut you off.
That's okay. Manetti.
Yes, sir.
I want a security detail at the cargo bay.
All right, just the entire deck, or would you prefer just this corridor?
The bay itself. There should only be one way in, one way out, aside from the Jeffries tubes.
All right. And Nettie will get on a communicator with... I don't believe we've established the Ensign's name yet, but Ensign whomever.
And Thoth.
Tell them to...
Senior Chief Thoth. Oh, you mean the Ensign, not the Senior Chief.
Yeah, whoever's in charge when I'm not around.
Gotcha. I'll come up with a name next time because we're wrapping up for the session.
Freddie Briscoe.
Yeah, and I'll just tell them
that's his name, Ensign Briscoe.
I'll just say, Ensign Briscoe, assemble a security team. We are currently quarantining the cargo bay.
Aye, sir. We'll get something set up right away.
And bring EV suits. Maglocks may help.
Understood, sir.
To Captain DeKrell.
Yes, Captain.
I want you an engineer, and I want you to try and give us everything you got to pick up our speed a little bit faster.
Aye, aye, sir. I'll get right on it. I'll head out to engineering. And then just while we're chatting near the end of the session, there was a red alert on the Sabine, correct?
Correct.
Did we ever follow up on that, or I just want
to
make sure?
No, in fact, communication shut off shortly thereafter. I was waiting for someone to check in on that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I feel like we should probably try and figure out what happened to the Sabine with that red alert. While I'm heading towards engineering, I'll be like working on my tricorder, my engineering tricorder, to just try and see if our connection gave me any hints as to the nature of the red alert. Like, were they under attack? Was there a system failure?
What I would say is that you would see that there was a great impulse, as if the ship was struck by a very large physical object and the inertial dampeners and deflector had to compensate.
Well, that's concerning. I'll advise Captain Cullen on that. And let's see. When I get down to engineering, I'm going to order some of my engineering team to shore up our structural integrity field, just in case.
All right. And with that, I think this is where we're going to make this a two-parter. But yeah, what'd you guys think of part one?
Oh, I do want to say that Cullen looks at Rivers. He was like, what happened to, like, just having to deal with smugglers and chart asteroid routes?
Well, we wouldn't be in Starfleet if interesting things didn't keep happening, sir. Even logistical vessels like this have to have fun things happen.
True, but, you know, just maybe smaller fun things. Maybe. I'm old. I'm not built like you young ones anymore, okay? I'm gonna break.
Well, sir, the next time I talk with Trelane, I'll relay that message.
Just gives you a little side eye, like, where have I heard that name before?
Oh, well, it was a joke, sir. Apparently, Captain Kirk once encountered a godlike being that liked to play games of a sort, sir. Perhaps I can fill you in on our flight over.
Okay, sounds good.
And that's where we'll end. But yeah, what'd you guys think?
It was great. Good. Love it.
Yeah, I'm definitely expecting. Seems like we got caught in the shrimp net.
I'm expecting us to encounter the Doom Marine.
I mean, maybe it is a class Y planet. You never know.
Can I just give a particular recognition to Krell, King Cairo holding his own with the sarcastic banter with his Tellarite subordinate?
Thank you. That's just how I talk with my friends. I'm second nature.
It was wonderful. Well done.
It's always fun when someone's not ready for the Tellarite and they're like, I'm sorry, are you angry at me? No, I'm just playing a Tellarite. All right, well, Twitch, stick around because we're going to raid somebody, but YouTube, we'll see you later. Bye-bye, YouTube.